Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Where did Ted go from Barkhamsted? Ted, call back, please. I wanted to say Ted from Barkhamsted. Come on, man. 860-522-9842. I don't know. It's got a nice rhythm to it. Don's in Lebanon. Hi, Don.
Hello, Todd. I have several. One would be, you know.
Yeah, you know is an issue.
You know, all that. That's ridiculous. Another one is the plural for sergeant major. It would be sergeants major or attorneys general.
People have a lot of trouble with that.
And let me think. You surprised me.
I surprised you. You've been on hold for a while. Come on, man. Don't blame me.
Well, I've been on hold for a while, and it just surprised me when you started talking to
me. Oh, okay. It's the memory. It's the memory problem. The memory just dies on you when suddenly it's your time, and that's how it works.
Yeah, another one would be a Canada goose, and if there's a whole bunch of them in the field, they would be Canada geese.
Mm-hmm.
They would not be Canadian geese.
You're a stickler.
Pardon me?
You're a stickler.
Oh, yeah. See, you brought one more up.
You don't like that word.
A male dog is neutered.
Yeah.
He's not spayed. The female is spayed. And it's not spaded, which a lot of people use.
I'm sorry. I'm never going to live up to your standards.
I don't have standards, so don't worry about it.
It can't be done, Don. Thank you so much for the call. 860-522-9842. What word or words or phrase or phrases do you want struck from the language? After we get this traffic and weather together on the 8s, we'll have a good chunk of time to talk, so hop on the phone now. Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. What's going on, sir?
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
All right, all right. I find myself all the time being bothered by the way people speak. It's a generation thing, I believe. Because we used to have to speak proper English, and now nobody speaks proper English. And it's required, I think, that you don't speak proper English. 860-522-9842, Matt, West Hartford. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Todd. I'm glad you're doing this, because I've got a laundry list of ridiculous things people say. I guess the first thing, and I hear it in newscasts more than I actually hear people say it, it's when you use the word funding instead of money. It's kind of this euphemistic thing that they say when they really mean money. So we can't get the funding for that. Well, you mean money.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Well, it didn't stand out to me, but I think there's a lot of language like that because I think the media is in partnership. The news media is in partnership with Democrats. So if you're in a state like Connecticut where the Democrats control the government, then they also control the media. And the media is sycophantic, and they copy whatever language is used by those in government, because really that's their only source of information.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, that's the plunderers, as you refer to them.
Yes.
I guess the second thing, I see this more written than I do than I hear it spoken, is when somebody is given something. They're, you know, somebody gives them a car or whatever. They refer to it as, I was gifted this car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that's a completely legal term, you know, in legal documents, but people use that in writing. I don't know if they're using it to try to sound...
humans don't talk like that.
No, no, and I see it in writing all the time. You know, somebody will post a picture on Facebook of a hat or something and say, look at this beautiful hat I was gifted. Mm-hmm. You weren't gifted the hat, you were given the hat. We had a word for that.
It was gifted. Gifted would be if you applied to a nonprofit for a grant, and that's how you got the hat.
Yeah. So the other thing, what I heard, I don't know, maybe it was you or one of your callers, you know, the term sort of.
Mm-hmm.
That also drives me crazy, and I hear that on, you know, that National Public Radio. They use that word
all the time.
As a pause. It's this whole sort of thing that they sort of do every time they sort of talk about something. It's this sort of thing that they sort of do.
Be bold. It's impolite to make a clear statement of intent or belief.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, verbal pablum is just, it's garbage.
Verbal
it's
pablum.
And they don't know what to say.
Yeah. Just up at the end of the road, you sort of take a right. You sort
yeah,
of take a right
or you,
right.
right. Well, I guess that's all I have for now.
Right.
So.
Well, you did a good job. You don't feel like you underperformed.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Matt. 860-522-9842. It is so ridiculous. Ken's in Chester and has been very patient. I hope you got yourself a pizza at Otto. Hello, Ken.
Oh, hi. I'm in a car wash. Hope it's not going to be a little loud.
This will be fun to find out. Let's see. Let us know when you start going through.
Yeah. Okay, so I'd be surprised if this hasn't come up yet, but being 34 years old, I hear it said to me all the time, it's what's up, and I can't stand that, because I actually say, how are you?
In response, you mean?
Yeah, I think how are you elicits a better answer. I don't know how to answer what's up.
I have a question for you if you're done with that, and that is, what happened to using the word AN before certain words?
That's true.
Have you noticed that that's been dropped?
Yeah, I have.
Who's in charge of this? Who do we complain to?
I think that's out of all our hands, really.
Yeah. Do you have anything else?
No, I guess that will do it.
All right. What's up, Ken?
Oh, boy. Take care now.
Oh, man. 860-522-WTIC. All right. Where we are? Where are we? Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? It looks like Mike in Plainville is next. Hey, Mike.
Three words: should, would, and could.
Yeah, you don't like those words?
No, because they're normally used to describe a weakness in a person. Should, would, and could are used a lot in excuses. I could have done that, but I didn't.
Mm.
I would have done that, except it was raining. Or I should have done that.
But I didn't think of it.
I didn't think of it, but I lost my left leg. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
You know, that sounds like something that a teacher in 1965 would say to you over and over again.
Now, here's the thing, okay? It used to be just, Todd, it used to be just like you help somebody out and they'd say thank you and they'd shake your hand. Now it's like they thank you so much, like you just saved their life or you just gave them a new organ, okay? I mean, enough is enough, okay? It's one thing to say.
You can't be too appreciative.
And it's another thing to patronize them.
Uh-huh.
It just, I don't feel comfortable. Thank you so, you hear it on TV, you hear it on the news, you hear it on TV programs.
Well, did you hear the first caller on this topic today? They said the thing that they couldn't stand was a phrase, I appreciate you. That one must drive you crazy, Mike.
I've never heard that.
You haven't heard that?
I could say people thanking me for, I appreciate your efforts. That's okay. But here's another one, too. Like, people ask, how are you? People that don't even know you. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of shy away from people that ask me how I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, I don't have time. tell people how I am. I'm in the shop. I'm in Stop and Shop. I'm at the gas station. How are you? In a hurry. I gotta go.
Too busy for you.
Busy for you. Busy for me.
Mike, thank you for the call. It's good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. If you want to rant one, you can. 860-751-4698. And next up is George in Canton. George, thank you for waiting.
Well, greetings, Todd. Two phrases, one word and a phrase.
Okay.
I cannot believe if somebody asks you to do something, oh, could I have a spoon for my coffee? And then they say, oh, awesome. Well, if that's awesome, what's the Grand Canyon?
Oh, that's worth a dozen spoons, I think.
And the other thing is my bad.
My bad.
My bad. My bad.
My bad.
No, if you made a mistake, say I made a mistake. I don't even think, have you ever heard anyone say a mistake lately? No politician ever says they made a mistake.
Well, they don't make mistakes. Nobody, they're too wonderful.
No, it's just my bad. I love the awesome thing. I mean, you know, what is walking on the moon? Well, I mean, if give me a spoon for my coffee is awesome, well, then what's walking on the moon?
You have to switch to a different language, I think.
Well, you know, Limbaugh always said words have meanings, except that so many have lost their meanings. There's no impact anymore.
It's really interesting in this conversation how certain words have just migrated out of use. And new ones where you're like, my bad, just comes from street slang from 50 years ago, 40 years ago, I think.
I expect. Yeah, I was driving down the road this morning, and all of a sudden a word flashed into my head, and that word was calamity. Mm-hmm. Remember there was a woman, Calamity Jane?
Yes, that's a wonderful word, too. It's got rhythm and poetry to it.
Well, it does, and I Googled it up, and calamity means catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And I thought, geez, Joe Biden.
Calamity Joe.
Calamity Joe, it's a great word.
It is. Yeah. It's wonderful.
But anyway, Todd, it's always it's after hours. I miss my watering hole today.
Well, it's only Wednesday, so I thought do that on Friday.
I'll shoot for Thursday and Friday.
You know? All right, that sounds reasonable. Thank you, George. 860-522-9842. And we are to Franny. Is it Franny? Hello, Franny. Yes, Franny.
Hi.
Hi there.
I didn't know that I was on the radio.
Well, you weren't until you were, but now you are.
Okay. Well, what I dislike is have a good one.
Have a good one. That is so ubiquitous now that it's kind of a surprise to hear, but you're correct. That's a very hateable expression.
Exactly. It's like, have a good what?
Yes, it leaves, but it is a conversation starter. You know, if you want to get to know somebody better, you can say to them, have a good one, and they can say, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, have a good one what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a good day, have a good night, have a good number one, have a good...
Oh, that's good, Franny.
Yeah. So that's my addition to your afternoon show.
Well, thank you. You made a wonderful contribution. That's a really strong one. You know, Bob's in Bloomfield. Hi, Bob.
Good afternoon. One suggestion and one word.
Okay.
The word is quality. Everybody advertises their product as quality, but they don't tell you whether it's good quality, mediocre quality, or lousy quality.
Well, they don't want to get locked into anything.
Well, it would be helpful if they would give you a clue as to what quality they're talking about.
Yeah.
The other thing is a suggestion. You guys do a great job on the traffic, but you have background noise sometimes it's loud, so loud you can hardly hear what's going on with the traffic. And I'm wondering why you bother to have the background. I won't call it music.
Oh, you're talking about, we call that a sounder in the business, a sound that goes along with a particular feature. And you're saying it's turned up too loud sometimes?
Well, it's often turned up too loud, but I would suggest a soundless sounder.
A silent sounder.
That would sound less.
Yeah, well, I was riffing off your idea. I like your idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, like I say, they do a good job, but it's sometimes kind of, they talk very fast because they're trying to cover a lot of territory, and it would help if they just didn't bother with a sounder.
I will tell Mark Christopher to talk much louder, too, and see if we can compensate that way as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I like your program, and thanks for everything you do.
Well, thank you, Bob. 860-522-9842. Wait, did he have a on-topic contribution? I didn't write it down if he did. Chris in New Britain. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Fentanyl. There is no such thing.
There isn't?
Fentanyl. Fentanyl.
Y-L? Is that how it's spelled?
That is correct, sir. And even your news guys use fentanyl, and it bugs me every time, but that's it.
Well, wait till you're addicted to it. Then you'll really feel strongly.
There you go.
thank you.
And I'll say have a good one. My mother uses that, by the way. She's 95.
I guess it's approved by the old folks. Thank you for that. You have a good one, too. Colleen Bloomfield. Hi, Colleen.
Yeah, hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm rocking.
Okay. I have two that just drive me up the wall. The first one, you've probably heard of before, is like. Mm-hmm. Everybody in every age group uses it. Like, I went to the phone, and like, I called so-and-so, and like, this happened. They don't stop to formulate what they want to say.
It used to be just a teenager thing, and now it's more across the board, isn't it?
It's pervasive, and they don't stop to slow down to think, what am I trying to say? Mm-hmm. And they use it as a filler, and it makes absolutely no sense, and it just drives me crazy. And when I was a teenager myself, was something I used constantly, and I wasn't aware of it until a close friend of mine told me. She stopped me right in my sentence, and she said, no, I don't know.
Yes.
And that stopped me from saying that to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how people have to treat it. They have to have it brought to their attention so they understand that they're driving people crazy.
I believe that you are correct about that, but some people, it's such a – saying you know is so locked in that they – even when you say, no, I don't know, they don't notice that you said it.
Well, in this case, I noticed it, and I was – I couldn't believe it. I stopped dead in my tracks, and from that point on, I was very careful about using that ever again in that instance.
Colleen, thank you for the call, and thank you for being careful on your choice of words. It makes for a better world, I believe. And we're going to go to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark, you need to talk louder, okay?
Miss something from the Todd Fine.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Berg Show, don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Poor David Branford has been on hold the longest. Hey, Dave.
All right. Well, got me in the middle of a mouthful here. Huh?
Uh-oh. Are you having a hot dog?
Ice cream sandwich, sir. Got a little hungry during the hold. Okay, Todd, I admire the conversational efficiency of shortened forms that enhance communication. But one word, I think it's an Ebonic word, IMA or AMA, AMA, a contraction for I am going to. I'm a get gas. I'm a go vote.
I'm a get gas, yeah.
That's just too much contraction. It strikes me as sloppy, inefficient speech. And it's shortened up even, I got to get gas, shortened to I'm a get gas. I don't really like that. The word dude is falling out of favor. And if you do something really extraordinarily good, dude. And if you do something really dumb, like step off the curb into traffic, dude. You know, it's a reproach. I saw a couple of girls in Walmart calling each other dude. I thought that was very weird. Almost, you know, that's a generationalism that I can't really get into. The word y'all is turning into black English, not southern. And I hear Whoopi Goldberg, y'all better watch out what y'all want. She's not southern. Why would you use it? It's just too current, you know, too cool, too hip. Some words I'm glad are gone. Copacetic. Remember when that was a cool word?
Yeah, that was a good one to drop.
That's just dropped off. Good riddance to that word.
Yes.
And one that I've noticed, I'll end on this, the expression what up, I am disgusted to find I use that when somebody calls or texts me and I'll say what up. I just don't like
do it, Dave. It's not copacetic.
Not copacetic. Okay, I'm done. Thanks. Bye.
All right. See ya. All right, we've got Nancy and Avon. Hi, Nancy. Nancy.
Hello. Yes, hi. Am I on?
You are. Go ahead.
Hi, Todd. There's one word that people have been using these days that I just don't understand. And instead of saying, I wish I had gone, they'll say, I wish I would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that?
Now that you mention it, I know that that happens, but it never struck me as particularly weird. But now that you mention it is kind of strange. It is unnecessary,
but I would have.
People do that. I can't think of any other phrases like that, but I know that there are things that people just say because they say them and they don't make any sense.
Right. Had is the past tense, not I would have. The other thing that I just can't stand anymore at all is how everybody this day and age, even educated people, are saying me and. Can me and Bobby go outside?
No, that's not true. Educated people don't talk like that.
Oh, they are. It is unbelievable. And parents who are educated are not correcting their kids. And you know what? Teachers aren't correcting them either.
Well, that's my point. They're not educated. Listen to this, Nancy. We'll get Mark Christopher to say it now in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. He went to dozens of colleges.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
All right, let's talk to Marianne. So she's been waiting for a while. Then we'll go to Joe Markley, and then we've got the 5 o'clock hour to mess around. We'll play some rants, and then we've got the hour open. All right, Marianne, go ahead.
Hi there. Aside from all of the other rants that have been on the program today, I have one that him and I went to the store.
Him and I.
Not... Not he and I went to the store. He went to the store. I went to the store. So therefore, he and I went to the store. Not him went to the store, and then I went to the store. Or her and I went to the store. That drives me insane. And if it's not bad enough that people actually say that, they write it.
No, they don't. Where do you live? Come on.
I have seen it in people's Facebook posts, on my texting that comes to me. Oh, and don't even get me started on the lack of punctuation.
Well, yeah, punctuation kind of died sentence. With the internet.
Oh, Lord, that's just bad.
I know it's a cruel truth, but the social media is messing up a lot of these language things that we're expressing our disfavor towards today.
And I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, take a lot of pictures so you can send them to your friends and complain.
I will. All right. Thanks, Todd. Great.
Thank
show.
You, Marianne. Thank you. Great to hear from you. Okay, so we're going to talk to Joe Markley, and then during the 5 o'clock hour, we've got the whole hour. We've got rants to play, and we'll mix those up with more of this, if you wish. 860-522-9842. Joe Markley. Hello there, sir. Have you heard what we're discussing today?
I have been listening all afternoon, which
your life is dull.
No, it is stimulated by you and your listeners. And, you know, Todd, I want to say you don't have to feel obliged to give me the whole segment because I know you've got so many people calling in on this. You hit a a very strong.
Oh, that's all right. I really look forward to our chat. So let's have one.
I do too.
And then we can. I've got the 5 o'clock hour. We can keep rocking this topic, as they say.
Well, I thought my contribution to this. Of course, I'm always looking for something to talk about political, and the best I had was the overpopulation of bears in Connecticut. So I think I'm tempted to go on with the. With these words, and
the overpopulation of bars, is that what you said?
No. Well, bars too, maybe, but bears definitely. I don't know which one are more deadly, but
are bears back in the news?
Oh yeah, there was an article again today in a paper out in Eastern Connecticut about the bear population being up. And what's frustrating to me about it, Todd? Mm-hmm. Here you've got a problem. And there's people that are basically saying, I'll take care of this problem for you. Give me a little hunting season and we can reduce the population of bears. And there's no real alternative. I mean, what we're trying to do to this idea of let's trap the bears and take them to, I don't know where. Who wants them? Maine? Mm-hmm. It's absurd. They need to be hunted. I'm sympathetic to the bears, but they are dangerous animals. And I had a bear confrontation up in Massachusetts, and I discovered they're not only dangerous, but they're nowhere near as shy as I am told they are. The bear
really? Was, so were you just walking out to the car or something, and there was a bear standing there?
No, it was right up here in Williamstown. I heard a noise in the backyard, and I looked out, and a bear had come up during the daylight, and this was not the time you expect to see it, but had gone up because attracted by a bird feeder. And we're careful about bringing them in at night, but that's not enough. And of course, so I said,
you bring the bears in at night?
Well, I hope usually not, but we do bring the bird feeders in.
Oh, the feeders.
We
have
a bear to them.
But why have them if that seems reckless?
Well, it is difficult. We pretty much have given up because there's just a lot of bears around. And
react when you walked into his space?
Well, I thought I'll scare the bear away, and I went out with a pots and pans, right?
Yeah, they tell you to do that, right? Make a loud noise, and they'll run away or something.
And the bear looked at me like. Why are you making all that noise? I mean, he didn't run away. He didn't look alarmed. He just kind of stood there with the bird feeder in his paws and looked at me. And I was up on a deck, and he was on the ground a little ways away and a little down from me. So I didn't feel immediately threatened, but it really was quite obvious that the bear was not. Is it fair to say I was more scared of the bear than the bear was of me?
Okay.
And I think we've had a couple of bears. We had a delightful mother bear and her two cubs stroll across the backyard at some distance, but really like they own the place. It's funny. And
I think they do.
Yeah, they do. They own what they want to. No one messes with them. But anyways, the fact that I said when we debated this, of course, years ago back in the Senate, you urban legislators come to us all the time and say, we've got these problems in the cities. You've got to help us. What about the rural legislators that come in and say, we've got bears all over? Give us a little hand here. But they don't get the same attention. I don't think that the people out in New Milford have the same clout as the people in New Haven.
It's funny. There's another animal story in the news today in Bristol about the geese. And geese are, like, there's something about a bear, even though they're dangerous and you don't want them having the option of hurting people, they're legitimate animals that you feel some desire to have them survive. I don't feel that way about geese at all, especially where they think any piece of land has to be filled with as much of their refuse as possible.
Yes, it's true. There are sympathetic and unsympathetic animals, and it doesn't have much to do with their behavior. It has more to do with their kind of cuddly and anthropomorphic qualities. I think.
Maybe that's it, or maybe it's that they've got legitimate purpose. It seems geese you can take or leave. They're not life changing, but bears are wondrous animals.
Yes, bears are mighty creatures, and I wish them well in their own place. But yes,
as long as they stay away from the backyard,
we cannot coexist with them. But I wanted to add this to the conversation, which is, having been in politics, having been at the legislature, certain words at the legislature that used to drive me crazy.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yes. And let me start with that. Usually drive me crazy because they're more or less meaningless, and yet they're used over and over again. At the end of the day.
Okay.
As a phrase for politicians, you know. At the end of the day, we have to come together at this. At the end of the day, we have to decide which direction. And it really doesn't mean anything at all, but it has developed great currency among politicians. And you cannot listen to too many speeches or press conferences.
It's really interesting. I hadn't realized it was a politician thing, but now that you say it, I've noticed it rising in the culture, and I think they're the ones driving it. And they're worried about the end of the day. They like phrases that fill up space and have no meaning of any import.
Yes.
You know, you're just as well off to not say at the end of the day, and you've accomplished just as much as when you say it.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't really say anything at all. And yet somehow people feel like it's some kind of a summation.
But Joe, look, there's certain words in politics you use because they're official words that you're supposed to use if you're a legitimate politician. And look, you're supposed to say at the end of the day.
Hey, you know, look is a good example of one that I sometimes fall into using, starting my sentences by saying, look, we've got to face facts or whatever it is. And I think, I try to stop it because I feel it's an irritating command form, you know, it's sort of like you're the boss.
It depends on how you say it, though. If you say it casually, but look, we've got to get going. Nobody's going to be mad at you, except that if you're Ron DeSantis or somebody like that, you say look to start sentences, because when you go to politicians sound like a slimeball politician school, that's one of the things you're supposed to say to delineate a statement and give it somehow more magnitude. Joe Biden says it like it's an addiction.
You know, another one that I don't like because I feel like it's essentially meaningless is when people term something unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has happened, and you didn't want it to happen, and it shouldn't continue to happen. But we have accepted the fact that it happened. It's not really unacceptable.
Well, it is unacceptable because you have to pander to the emotions of the people who find it unacceptable. So you say it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Bobby Kennedy started that in the 60s. I believe this is unacceptable in the United States of America.
If it is, then what are we going to do? I mean, you say we need to change this, but we need to change the thing. It's not the acceptance that needs to be changed.
But you can't change it, so you have to express your outrage.
You can't change it. And it's particularly frustrating to me when you can change it. If you say to a child or a student, this behavior is unacceptable, then the next phrase should be, you know, you're going to your room without your supper, or you're going to be suspended or something.
Sit in the corner with your dunce cap on.
That's right. Another one I'll mention in politics that I don't like is when people talk about monies, plural.
and peoples.
Peoples. I mean, there is a kind of a tortured use of the word monies, which I think, especially if you're talking about different types of currency,
mm-hmm.
and it could maybe be used for saying money that comes from different sources, but really when it comes down to it, money is money. It's a plural already. You can't have a money. And I think people do it because they think it sounds fancy. You know, it's not like just saying we're spending too much money. We're spending too much monies.
But isn't that one of the words that politicians, as they pick up the jargon, there's kind of a learning curve, I would assume, like any profession, when suddenly you're walking around in the hallowed, echoey halls of freshly waxed marble, that you are supposed to do something to adapt so you're important enough, you emanate enough of that importance from the inside that makes it seem like, yeah, you're one of those guys who belongs in the echo halls.
But yes, and you pick that up. I don't know that you have to be conscious about it. Any place you go, you're susceptible to picking up the language of the people around you. And I think it happens in Hartford, and I think that I would only say it's not inevitable. It's something that one can be at least be aware of and try to
avoid. Not sound like an idiot by using those words, like monies. We're looking for the monies that we need to be able to pay for the movies.
Now, I'll give you one that is used just because, in fact, I just was flying on Southwest Airlines, which I fly on sometimes. I've had, you know, generally good experiences. But they have decided in all their advertising and in all the things they have up as you walk through the airport and all the things they have up on their planes, that they're not going to say want to anymore. They're going to say wanna in their ads. And I think, what are you, a child? Are you I'm supposed to get in a plane with maintained and flown by people that think that this is the right kind of language to use, that somehow we're being too formal in this American.
That's why we're
world.
Turning everything over to robots now, so everybody else can be a permanent child.
Yes. Well, I can't stand it. I hate every time I see Wana. It just makes me cringe.
To tell you this, but the phone lines, which were empty, have now filled themselves back up in anticipation of your disappearance.
Oh, isn't that nice?
They're just looking to shove you off the stage.
Okay, well, I'm happy to depart, and I congratulate you on a great topic and a great deal of activity on the board today.
Okay, would you remember to say, let me get a, when you want to order something at a restaurant, let me get a?
I was going to talk about get. When you learn a foreign language, you realize how weirdly we use get in English, because you just don't use it in other languages, but I will leave that aside. A get should be reduced, not eliminated.
Joe Markley, thank you, sir. Coming up, we will we'll return to our topic and play rants. And the topic is words or phrases you want banned from the English language. 860-522-9842. We've got I'm going to get you a traffic update with Mark Christopher. I'm going to get you him, too. In the BPS Lawyers Traffic.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.